Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Hello, and welcome to Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. This is Jace, along with my co-host Manny.
Hey.
And in this episode, we'll be covering Witchblade number 8. And just a reminder, those of you that want to follow along, you can go to comicvine.com and do a search there for the name Condor, K-O-N-D-O-R-R. It's his Top Cow Chronology that we're using. And if you look at the first item on the list, it's actually Tales of Witchblade number 7, but since Manny and I were completely unfamiliar with the Top Cow universe, we decided to start with the first thing published, which was Witchblade. So we started with the first 8 issues of Witchblade, which are in the Witchblade Volume 1 Origins trade paperback. And once we finish with today's episode, Witchblade number 8, then we'll be moving to the beginning of the chronology with that aforementioned Tales of Witchblade number 7. So if you want to follow along with us, go to Comic Vine, do that search for Condor, find the chronology, and you'll know what's coming up next. Also, if you need to purchase Witchblade, you can either get the issues on comixology.com or instocktrades.com. They both have the trade paperbacks of Witchblade available. They also have Darkness and a lot of the other books we'll be covering for a very reasonable price, and you can keep your eye out for sales on Comixology and get them even cheaper. But if you prefer having the actual books in your hand, then in-stock trades is the way to go. All right, let's jump into the issue. So this was Witchblade number 8, which was published August 1996, and this kind of completes the first introductory story arc to Sarah Pizzini and the Witchblade, kind of wrapped up the first storyline. And what'd you think, Manny, for your first impressions of issue 8?
It was okay. Not overly impressed as I thought I'd be. I thought it'd be a little bit more, the ending would be a little bit more climatic, but it was okay. that's really my feeling towards it.
Just okay, huh? Well, I should mention the creative team on the book. The writers are David Wall and Christina Z, along with Michael Turner. Pencils are handled by Michael Turner, inks by D-Tron, and colors by Jonathan D. Smith. Just okay for you, huh? Yeah, I guess maybe I liked it a little more than you. It did provide answers to a lot of the questions that I had to kind of wrap things up. But not so much so that you can't see the story is still going to continue. And they don't want to answer every single question, because then you just have to, you know, introduce new plot lines and such. So the microwave killer wasn't mentioned at all. We still don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, no.
Still, the whole dynamic between Ian Nottingham and Kenneth Irons seems like there's a lot more story to tell there. I mean, basically, the whole issue was just one big battle. So there's definitely, you know, things to be discuss. So
well to me it set up really nicely, you know, with Irons monologuing and kind of asking the same questions we had been asking, like, aren't you a detective, like, how come you didn't figure this out? And you know, I was preparing for a little bit more of a battle. I mean, we've seen that Irons obviously has some sort of powers, and by the end of the issue I was still kind of like, well, I don't really still fully understand why he's such a big baddie.
Yeah.
With how, I think my problem was he was too easily defeated by her, especially being a novice with the Witchblade. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's do a quick synopsis of the issue, and then we can break it down.
All right.
All right. So if you remember in the previous issue, Jake had come to the realization that the internal affairs guy, can't remember his name.
I don't either.
Let me look it up real fast. Selzer.
That's right.
Name. Selzer. And you know, it just occurs to me that, do you ever watch Law & Order SVU? Or Law & Order?
No.
Any of those? Because there was the one guy's name who was Belzer on there. I wonder if that's a play on that. Anyway, if you remember, Jake, who is one of Sarah's colleagues, who apparently has quite the thing for Sarah, had realized when Selzer misspoke that Selzer knew about the connection between Sarah and Irons. So this issue starts out basically Selzer saying that Sarah's been a puppet for Irons this whole time, and Selzer himself actually works for Irons, and Jake has Selzer at gunpoint, and they're heading to the tower, the Cotty Tower, Central Park West, New York, 4:25 a.m., and we see Sarah looking pretty defeated on her knees, the Witchblade not responding to her, and as Manny stated, Irons is kind of monologuing here, basically egging Sarah on, how did you not realize it was me all along, the yacht that you were kidnapped and placed on was docked and registered under my name, and there was... You know, no coincidence that I kept showing up, you know, all along. It was me that was manipulating you. And then we also learned that Nottingham's been modified, and apparently he was branded with the symbols from the Witchblade, and he was supposed to attempt to extract from the Witchblade the negative parts of it that were the parts that would cause the Witchblade to kill somebody who wasn't meant to wield it. Is that how you understood it?
Yeah, that's actually pretty close.
The negative residue was so strong and so overpowering that Nottingham was nearly driven insane by the power of it, and so that's why he was continued to attack Sarah.
That makes sense now.
So we got our answer to that. So now that the supposed negative residue has been removed from the Witchblade, Irons himself will finally be able to wield it. So it says, Nottingham began the ceremony, and Sarah appeals to Nottingham, remember our dream, please don't kill me, and he says no. But as he goes towards Sarah and starts to, I guess, apparently begin the ceremony that Irons is discussing, Irons is behind Nottingham laughing, and then we see that Nottingham's apparently had a change of heart. He turns and attacks Irons. Irons says, how dare you betray me? Nottingham's response to that is, how quickly you forget who I am. I'm not your assassin. I'm not your loyal servant. I would have given my life for you, but foremost, I was a confidant. It was not wise to remove a fly from my friend's forehead with a hatchet. Not sure what that's about.
Sounds like there's something a lot more personal that we don't know about.
Yep. So Nottingham says, you've betrayed me, and he goes to stab Irons. Irons actually catches the two blades from Nottingham's katanas in his hand, said, you tried this before and failed. I'm 3 times your age. And there's a fight between Nottingham and Irons. Seems pretty one-sided. Nottingham pretty much beats the crap out of him and tosses him out the window.
You mean Irons?
I'm sorry, Irons. Yeah, Irons pretty much beats the crap out of Nottingham with little effort and tosses Nottingham out the window. That's the last we see of Nottingham
for this issue.
And so then Irons asks for the Witchblade, and Sarah says, take it. And Irons says, I tried that once and it didn't work. And he reveals that he indeed only has one hand. I'm sure if we were to go back through the previous books, you'd see that he only ever had one hand shown.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe he had a prosthetic or something, because I did go back a couple of times, and he's shown with two hands.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe it was a prosthetic. Clearly, he doesn't have a hand. He's holding it up, and there's a stump. So he says Nottingham would have been helpful, but he's no longer necessary. So even without this apparent ceremony or whatever, looks like he extracts the Witchblade from Sarah, and it goes on to him, and there's a beautiful full-page, double-page splash of Irons with the Witchblade saying, I am power, I am master, finally. Then we see that Jake and Selzer show up. Selzer gets unceremoniously blasted by Irons, who says, I am God. Jake says, not for long, takes some shots, which are, you know, deflected by the Witchblade. And so Sarah says, above all, I'm a cop. Even without the Witchblade, I need to protect Jake. And Irons fires a blast at her, tells her to go away. Sarah's just beside herself at this point, about to see another one of her callings killed, as her partner Michael was. She says, no, I will not let this happen. So she's, even though she's thrown out the window, and she's beginning to fall off the building, we see that apparently she still has some of the Witchblade attached to her. Apparently, Irons didn't take it all. And so, as Irons is about to finish off Jake, Sarah returns, and she's fully armored up with the Witchblade, and there's an extremely short fight between Irons and Sarah. Irons basically attempting to extract what's left of the Witchblade from Sarah, saying, it should obey me. Sarah says, you're so stupid of all people. How could you not know with your gallery the one thing that they all had in common? The Witchblade only chooses women. And she basically reaches out to the parts of the Witchblade that Irons controls, takes it all from him, tells him he's nothing but a loser, he'll never hurt anyone again, and says he's under arrest. He says, no, I must have it, that's my right, and attempts to attack her. She kind of punches him, he slips off the building, he's holding on to the ledge, Gargoyle, and Sarah says that he'll be punished, but he's not worth killing, doesn't deserve to be killed, surrender now. And instead of surrendering, Irons chooses to let himself die, lets go of the ledge and falls to his death, supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
I'm sure that we'll see him again. So Sarah has accepted that she is the Witchblade. She makes it seem like she's not afraid anymore, she says. When I was a little girl, I wished I had the power to prevent bad people from hurting anyone. Without the Witchblade, it's just my job. But with the Witchblade, I have the ability to save others beyond an inconceivable capacity. The only difference is I'm not afraid anymore. So it seems like she's accepted the Witchblade, which is its own separate entity, and her are together in this partnership, and she's apparently going to use it as a force of good, which I'm not convinced that the Witchblade is a force of good.
I thought she had already done that at the dock.
Yeah, it seemed like she was, I think at that point she was not fighting to take it off, but now it seems to me like she's accepted that she is going to use this and use it to in her job, you know, to try to go, rather than, there's one, you know, there's like three different stages. She could just be fighting to not have the Witchblade. She could be accepting the fact that she has it and it's become a part of her, or it's attached to her. They need each other, but not necessarily actively use it, or she could choose to actively use it. So it seems like she's taken that journey from not wanting to accept it to accepting it and now actually using it. But there's a few, it's not the greatest, like you said, it's not the greatest story ever told. I mean, there's a lot, some plot holes, especially like you said with the whole Irons thing. I mean, he was able to beat Nottingham, who we know is a badass, so easily, but we still don't know, okay, does he have power? What power does he have? Where does his power come from? And he seems to be powerful enough that, why does he need the Witchblade so bad?
Yeah, I mean, think about what those katanas did to that car a couple issues, the second issue.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, he was able to stop him with his hands.
Yeah, so, again, not, it doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. I still am not satisfied with the idea that Sarah having all these terrible things happen to her one after another, some of them inflicted by iron, some of them not necessarily, but all this stuff piling up would have made her stop being fundamentally who she was. I mean, she's a detective.
Yeah.
She has to have powers of deduction and logic. And for her to just blindly accept Irons and, you know, like I was saying in the last episode, I was hoping and praying there had to be some kind of emotional manipulation there, because it doesn't make sense for her to go so far out of character. She even said earlier in these first 8 issues about how she doesn't trust anybody, but she trusts him. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it turns out, we didn't hear anything about any manipulation, and even Irons is as astonished as we are. So yeah, that's a bit strange. I really, I personally think that Jake is really unnecessary in this issue. He you know, he didn't really bring nothing besides a moment of there's a word I'm looking for.
Damsel in distress?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean,
kind of triggered her thinking, remembering, oh, Michael, I don't want to see another partner, quote-unquote, die.
Oh, the word I'm looking for is deja vu.
Yeah, there you go.
Because she saw her partner instead of him.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of a poor plot device. But yeah, that's the only reason he was there, just as a plot device, kind of jog her memory.
Yeah.
Kind of an old Top Gun, Days of Thunder. Oh, remember what happened last time I was in this terrible situation? Yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning, it gives you the idea that, oh, he's going to go save her. And no.
I don't even think he necessarily had to save her, but could have been a way to get some more of the story, more of the background. He could have, you know, snuck into the tower and investigated and found, I don't know, something that gave us some more history on Irons. But no, he just showed up there to be a plot device. And Seltzer looked like he was killed to me. Got blasted by the Witchblade. So, yeah, again, a very 90s, you know, beautiful art, but story not as strong as it necessarily could be. But you could tell that they were trying to build something, trying to, you know, make something epic. And it is, even though it's a product of its time and it does have its shortcomings, it is a good way to establish a world that they're starting to build. I mean, it is only 8 issues, and being that there's so many splash pages and such, and not, you know, this was the 90s, it was kind of the transitional period between the 80s, where comics were more words than pictures, in my opinion, and nowadays modern comics, which are much more pictures than words. This was kind of the bridge that was going, you know, from less words, more art driven. And so although if you take the story and move it back to the 80s and put more exposition and explanation and words into it, these 8 issues probably would have been about maybe 3 or 4 issues. And you could completely understand at that point, if you were 3 or 4 issues into a new series, you wouldn't expect the world to be completely built. You wouldn't expect, you know, you'd be more willing to overlook the shortcomings, thinking that, okay, I'm going to keep reading and it's going to get better as I learn more about it. So if you take it under that context, it's 8 issues, but it's 8 issues of 90s comics. So, you know, until it gets to about 12 issues or maybe even 15 issues, I'm still going to hold out overall judgment on what I think of the start of Witchblade.
You know, that's a really good way to describe it, because I was just about to tell you, it feels like it needs 2 or 3 more issues in between here, and you know, it would have been a more of a solid story. So yeah, maybe in the 80s they gave us a little bit more of that with a little bit less art, and right now we'd get a lot more splash pages and less story.
Yeah, I mean, just go back and look, those a lot of those comics from the 80s, it'll take you 30 minutes to read one issue. Nowadays a lot of comics take 5 minutes, so this is somewhere in the middle. And I mean, just using this one particular issue as an example, like I had said, this whole issue is just, it's one scene basically, and it's one scene, one setting, they have a fight. And that's it, and that's the whole issue. So, you know, they haven't really gotten that far yet. I mean, she's not even back to work after the initial murder of her partner. And, you know, we'll see. I'm intrigued enough to keep reading. Even if we weren't doing this podcast, I would still keep reading to see where it goes. Like I said, you know, Michael Turner is my all-time favorite artist, and I've always wanted to read this for that reason. And also just because, Witchblade, it's one of those iconic, you know, comic book properties. So does it have its negative things? Sure, but, you know, most comics do.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's something wrong with it. It's still a great book, but like you said, like you keep saying, it's a product of its time.
Yeah, well, at least there was no scenes at the S&M party.
Yeah, that's good that they, you know, left those out. But I really wish we would have. Well, then again, there's nowhere to put the subway killer.
Yeah,
there was no room for it here. I mean, if we would have got, you know, one page or a couple of panels, then we would have just been like, what is this? So
yeah, I think this issue was meant to be a kind of a dramatic climax of the first 7 issues with a big battle. And the purpose of this issue was, okay, so let's clear Irons off the stage for now, because I am under no illusions that he's not going to come back. I'm sure he's going to come back. But let's clear Irons off the stage for now, get Sarah to a place where she embraces the Witchblade, and she's going to start using it in her everyday job, so we can start moving the story forward in that way. Think of this as, okay, this is her origin story. This is how she came to possess the Witchblade and accept it and use it as she best sees fit.
Yeah,
so let's tell the story of that. And then from here going forward, now we can start answering questions and start going back and picking at some of those threads, like the microwave killer and the whole modeling thing and, you know, the death of her partner and stuff like that. So I would think that's where it's going to go next.
Yeah, so the way I'll describe these 8 issues is the cliff notes of her origin.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, we may have missed some things, but we got the general idea.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I could have also used a lot, you know. I know they wanted to make it dramatic, but there's a lot of lightning.
Yeah, you could have done with less lightning.
Now. Yeah.
The battle is, I know it's interesting, the layouts that Turner chose for dramatic effects, again, you know, of its time. But we're going to have to leave Sarah for a while now, because we're actually not going to be coming back to her for a while, because, as I said before, now that we finished off these first 8 issues of Witchblade, we're going to go back and start at the chronological beginning of the Top Cow universe. I believe the next issues that we're going to be reading are back in ancient Egypt. Let me take a look at Condor's chronology here. Yes, so the first item on Condor's chronology list is, as I said earlier, Tales of the Witchblade number 7, Egypt 1000 BC, and that's a 2-parter. So our next episode will cover Tales of the Witchblade number 7, and the following episode will be Tales of the Witchblade number 8. And if you want to obtain those Tales of the Witchblade issues, your best bet is to go on eBay. There is a Tales of the Witchblade collected edition, but it's no longer in print, so you won't find it on InStockTrades.com or at Comixology, but I saw several copies available on eBay, like I said, for about $3 plus shipping, so relatively cheap. Also, you guys may not be aware of this, but we record these episodes quite a bit ahead of time. That way we can stay on schedule of releasing 3 episodes a week. So for that reason, I'm recording this little section a little later, and
I want to talk about a comment we actually got from Condor, the same person that's responsible for the chronology that we follow. Well, we got a comment from him about the last episode, and he was mentioning that as we dissect each of these issues with our intellect mode on, quote-unquote, we're probably going to be disappointed. And I think the reason he's saying that is just because, as we've said before, these comics are very much of the 90s. So, you know, we're aware of that, and, you know, we're going to kind of take it with a grain of salt. These books are definitely beautiful to look at, and for the art alone, they're worth buying. And I think another thing that's really going to help out with that is the fact that we're not reading Witchblade all the way through or The Darkness all the way through. You know, we're going to jump around as the chronology dictates. So hopefully this stuff doesn't get too terrible to wade through. So he also mentioned in his comment that he doesn't necessarily agree with us on Sarah's behavior being out of character. And, you know, having read these issues a while back and then recording the episodes, I'm starting to kind of come around to his point of view now that I've had a little time to sort of digest them. In a way, I almost think that you can think of these issues and the way Sarah reacted as sort of ahead of their time in a way, because when you think about it, for a comic book character to project this aura of toughness as Sarah does in her with her partners and her colleagues at the precinct, which Condor mentions, but then inwardly to be much more insecure, to go with what Condor was saying, it kind of left her open for Irons to come in and take advantage of her wanting somebody to kind of be a shoulder to cry on and a pillar of strength so that she didn't have to, you know, rely on this facade of strength that she feels like she has to show to the world. So I could definitely see that. It's getting even a little bit deeper than I necessarily was thinking about the book, I suppose you'd say, just because it was from the 90s, the mid-90s. So in that way, you know, if that's the case, if that's what David Wall was intending, then I would say this book is definitely has more to it and more depth than I maybe first gave it credit for, being that it was from the time period that it was from. So I guess you can look at it, you know, either way. Either it's a little inconsistent, or perhaps Sarah really was insecure and she was just projecting this air of toughness and really was open and ready for somebody to come in and kind of help her out in her time of need. Probably the truth lies somewhere in the middle. It's probably a bit of both. So Condor also mentions that this Scientology stand-in church that Irons is apparently very involved in also could have led to him learning some perhaps ways to manipulate people that didn't necessarily mean that he had a power or something of that sort to rely on, just more of the basic way to manipulate people. So I want to thank Condor for his comments. Definitely gave me some food for thought. And I also think that perhaps he's coming at it with a little more perspective, having read much more of Witchblade than Manny and I have to this point. So he probably has that working in his favor. If you guys want to comment on the episodes, we greatly appreciate the feedback. Just go to the website. That's thecomicsourceblog.com. And if you go to the particular page for each episode, you can leave comments on the bottom. And as I said, we greatly appreciate those. And as long as I'm talking about the website, let me mention there's also a link for our respective personal projects, my YouTube channel and Manny's blog. Also, you can check out our sketch gallery. I should be adding the sketches from the Long Beach Comic Con coming up pretty soon. And I'll probably be putting up a convention coverage page soon as well with some more pictures from Long Beach Comic Con and perhaps some of the creator interviews that I conducted there. Also, if you'd like to contact us on our Facebook page, you can go to Facebook and do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/TheComicSource. And of course, you can drop us a line at our email, thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. And don't forget, if you want to get your hands on Tales of the Witchblade, just take a look on eBay. They are there to be found, either the collected edition or the single issues. And let me just mention one more thing real quick. On our webpage, on our website, if you go to the Top Cow Chronology link, off to the right, there's a Comic Vine logo. Click on that logo and that will take you directly to Condor's Chronology. So I want to thank you all for joining us once again. And don't forget, next time, we're going to be right at the start of Condor's Top Cow Chronology with Tales of the Witchblade 7. We'll talk to you then.